John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, you get the story of the woman at the well. I preached about that a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was more than a couple of weeks. But very interesting. Jesus didn't travel the normal way that Jews would have traveled to go from Galilee down to Judea, which normally they would go out around and avoid traveling through Samaria. Jesus kind of traveled right down through the middle because Jesus wasn't a prejudiced type of guy. He may have lived and been a part of a prejudiced group of people, but he wasn't a prejudiced type of guy. And by the way, I could skip this, but I just want to hit really quick. In Jesus' time, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. And to give you a thumbnail history lesson, about 130 years before, the Samaritans decided that they were going to build their own temple up on top of Mount Gerizim. And so that's what they did. And it was kind of a model of like the temple that was in Jerusalem. Well, the Jews down in Jerusalem felt that them building that temple was an absolute sacrilege. So they got together an army, went, got up on the mountain, and tore the temple down. So the Samaritans were furious with the Jews, and the Jews were furious with the Samaritans. And so, you know, that's where that one was. And it had lingered. And the Jewish leaders felt that to even have anything to do with the Samaritan people was to pollute yourself. Because it figures you're going to get around those people and you're going to hear what they're going to have to say. And maybe you get around them, you get hearing and you get picking up on some of their attitudes and this, that, and the other. So getting around them is like polluting yourself. And so if you went through those regions, you had anything to do with those people, if you'd come down to Jerusalem, they would consider you ceremonially unclean to do anything in the temple. You'd have to kind of go through ritual purification things. And so there was a lot of bad blood between them. But Jesus didn't roll that way. Jesus didn't treat the Samaritans that way. And that's a good model for all of us. I mean, you may come from a family or you may live in an area where there's all sorts of long-term old grudges, prejudices, or bad blood. But as a Jesus follower, it is very possible to live above all that stuff and not carry on that foolishness yourself and learn to love your fellow man as your brothers and sisters, and that's how it ought to be. Amen. So Jesus, traveling through Samaria, didn't travel around, traveled right down through the middle, sends his disciples out to make arrangements, get something to eat. Jesus strikes up a conversation with a woman who is coming to get water. And you remember the story. But the end result of this whole encounter this woman had with Jesus is she got so excited about the conversation that when the disciples showed up, and now Jesus is surrounded by them and busy, she just decides to make herself invisible, and she takes off because she has decided that this is important. I got to go tell my family and friends and my neighbors about this. This is a terrible illustration. I think I've used it before somewhere else. So if I've used it like 2 weeks ago, just roll your eyes and figure that age is getting the best of me. But there was a time when we used to do a Wednesday night meal here at church every week. And every week we got food from Publix. Publix would give us a lot of stuff. And I remember one time, and I can't remember what the reason was, but Publix literally gave us a pile. Like if I was sitting it here, it would be, if I piled them up here, it was this high and about this long of Mrs. whoever it is, frozen pies. They were frozen cream pies. And I'm like, you know, we have people coming to the dinner on Wednesday night, but we don't have that many people coming. And so I was literally left with, I don't know, 50 or 60 pies? And I'm like, what are we going to do? We're just going to put them in the refrigerator and let them go bad? And so we had a guy who went to our church. Many of you remember him, Julian Andrews. I drove down in Julian Andrews' neighborhood, and I had the trunk open in the back of my Honda Accord, and I went up to the first door, and I knocked on the door, and I said, hi, I'm the pastor up at the Nazarene Church on the Hill. Publix has given us a bunch of these pies. They're free. Would you like one? Now, they're looking at me like I'm a salesman or something, or a Jehovah's Witness. But when they walked out to the car and they took a look and they're like, no cost? I said, no. You want one? Yeah, I want one. Then they said, I got some people coming over. Can I actually have two? And I said, yeah, you can have two if you want. And I said, I just got to clean my trunk out. And so that person bolted it to the, he goes, hold on, you won't have to knock on doors. Boom, he went to this door, this door, this door. They came out. They went to that door, that door, that door. I mean, truth is, I got my trunk empty in no time because the people felt that this was something and they didn't want their neighbors to miss out on it, and they wanted to make it happen. Well, the woman at the well, very similar thing. She met with Jesus, and she was so impressed with her encounter with Jesus that she didn't want to sit there and get to know the disciples. I'm sorry, I know you guys are interesting and all, but I'm out of here. And I'm sure she booked it home, and I'm sure that if she had children, she probably would have told them first. And it said that she had a man she was living with who wasn't her husband, and then she had all the ones that she had been with before that weren't really her husbands. And so she's going and telling all these people, and everybody is hearing what she has to say, and the next thing you know, there's a crowd that has come. And I know why the crowd came, because she was enthusiastic, and she was genuine. You know, it's like, was she a role model for the community? No, she wasn't a role model for the community, but she was enthusiastic, and she was genuine. And so they came out to see this person that she had told them about, because he made a big impression on her, and she didn't want anybody to miss out on the whole thing. And really, she's a model for us. Because let's just be honest, Jesus has made a big impression on all of us. I mean, one thing about a small church, I know you all. We've all seen answers to prayer. We've all been helped. I mean, I couldn't even imagine what life would be like without the Lord. I mean, he brings so much good into my life and into my family. I couldn't imagine life without the Lord. And I think in our day and age that we live in, there's this tremendous pressure to kind of keep matters of faith to ourselves. You know, it's like, okay, it's okay for you to, I'm glad you're excited about it, but please don't tell me about it. And, but there's a huge problem with that. It would sort of be like, what if the first person from Julian's neighborhood who came out and got the pie and actually asked for a second one for himself just said, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you back your car up into my yard and wait a little bit? And I'm going to go and buy a deep freeze. I'll be back in an hour. And that way I can take all the pies and keep all the pies at my house. I'd be like, I'm getting rid of the pies, but this isn't right. Because, I mean, I guess it would be good. You could have a pie every week for the next year. But wouldn't it be better for it to be shared? And when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the truth. It's better to be shared. And, Yesterday, I had a wonderful experience. I was doing something at my house, and somebody was up at my door, and my German Shepherd, Dave, bolted to the door, woof, 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 and whoever it was took off real quick. And Tammy went to the door, and somebody had come by our house, and they had left the Jesus film, and then this little pamphlet about Jesus, and a little track about trusting Jesus. And this is what I loved about it the most. There was no advertisement for any church on it. I was like, somebody just wanted to tell me about the Lord. Nobody's trying to sell me anything. Nobody's trying to set up a meeting. And I'm like, thank God for those girls. I'm sorry they were terrified by my dog. But I'm like, thank God. We need to find ways to be like that ourselves. The things that the Lord has done for us, the Lord can do for others. It might not be just exactly the same. He's going to give them what they need. He's going to make all the difference in their lives. And we need to find ways to share what the Lord has given us. But just like anything else we pray about, sometimes we don't know the answer immediately, like how we should share or who we should share with. But if we go to Him and we continue praying about it, He'll give us wisdom on this. He'll help us know. When is that opportunity that I could have a spiritual conversation with that person? I know I've been frustrated because I'm a part of a swim program up at NTC. And a lot of the people, everybody I swim with, they know I'm a minister. But it's like nobody talks about religion ever. So I told one of the ladies I swim with, we're very good friends, I asked her, do you and your husband ever go to church anywhere? And she goes, I'm not a church person. I said, really? Because she came to our church one time. She goes, do you know, in my entire life, I think I've gone to church 3, maybe 4 times. And one of those times was coming to your church. I said, really? She goes, yeah. We're not church people. So I decided, now here's the point where I had to make myself uncomfortable. And I had planned this because I'd prayed about it. I said, well, I've made my mind up that since you don't go to church anywhere, I'm going to be your pastor even though you don't come to my church. And I'm going to start praying for you and your family. So she kind of looked at me. And I said, I want you to think about something. If I could pray for your family for one thing, what would it be? Well, I don't know. Prosperity. And I said, oh, come on. So I go, think about it. So later on, she got back to me and she talked to me about something. And now she is looking for opportunities, you know, at sometime in the practice when other people aren't around, maybe we can connect for a minute together. And we talk a little bit about things and she knows I'm praying for her. And I got another friend doing the same thing. And it's like, for me, I had to almost make myself a little uncomfortable to get that ball rolling. But it's giving me an opportunity to share my faith. And I think for all of us, I think there's a point where people know we're Christians, they know we go to church, but that stepping and taking that little step towards them where we kind of look for an opportunity to talk about God. You know, it's a bit of a risk. I have a young man, he's going a high school boy that I know from the gym, and we're very good friends. Every time he sees me, we talk. And he asked me, and we've been talking for about 3 months. Out of the blue, he asked me, he goes, what do you do for work? I go, well, what do you think I do for work? Because I honestly don't know, Mr. Doug. I said, well, I'm a minister. He goes, like a pastor at a church? I said, yeah. And immediately he got real quiet. And then I said, well, do you go to church anywhere? And he goes, we don't go to church anywhere. And I said, well, what do you believe? He goes, we don't talk about that. I said, why don't you talk about that? He goes, we just don't talk about that. He got the rest of the little, that time we were talking together, he went silent. You know, as soon as I told him I was a minister, silent. So now, I'm looking for opportunities to kind of open the door. I don't know what I'm going to find, but now it's safe just to keep it to yourself. It is a bit of a risk when you try to initiate the conversation. But the Lord doesn't really want us having a deep freeze in our garage with 50 pies in it. And he wants us to pray, and as he directs us, take a risk. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. It says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. For if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Now I'm going to read more on this, but let's, for me it says, therefore we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I'll tell you what a worldly point of view is. We tend to throw people into a category. We throw you into a category of what race you are, or we throw you into a category of what political background you are, or we throw you into a category of what socioeconomic background you have. And I will tell you that when it comes to going out with friends on Saturday night, the way most people operate these days is birds of a feather tend to flock together. So the folks that are living in the richest, nicest neighborhoods usually go out to dinner with other folks from the richest, nicest neighborhoods. And those in the middle tends to go out with those in the middle, and those who are struggling at the bottom tend to go out to lunch with those struggling in the bottom. We tend to find ourselves socializing with people politically who look at things the same way we do. We tend to socialize with people that are the same race we are. Why? Because they're like us. We're comfortable with them because we have this in common. And here he's saying, we no longer regard people from a worldly point of view. Why is this? Because the Lord Jesus Christ helps us to see that people are people, and people need the Lord, and people can be changed by having the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And the Lord is in the business of saving and blessing and helping rich folks, as well as he's helping the folks in the middle and folks that are poor. And the Lord's in the business of blessing and saving and helping Democrats and Republicans and independents and whatever else you want to call yourselves. And he is interested in helping Chinese folks, people from Singapore, people from Egypt, Africa, the United States, and Denmark. And so Paul's saying, we no longer view people from a worldly point of view, although we used to do that. He says, we don't do it anymore, because if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old stuff's gone, and the new has come. And I'll tell you what, all you need to do is be around another Jesus Christ-loving, Holy Spirit-filled believer, and you realize that maybe you can't even speak the same language. But you sense a kinship and a oneness. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And we need to treat him like that. Verse 18, all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the Lord has reached us, and through Christ, the relationship between us and the Father has been healed. I don't know if that's the word I want to use. It has happened. We were in sin before. Now we have a relationship with him. Now we have been adopted as children through what Christ has done. And he says, now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So us Christians, we have been enlisted because we've been saved, because we've been made new creations. We have been given the job by the Lord of going out and finding people and introducing them to the Lord. And it's not just introducing them. He says, ministers of reconciliation. We are supposed to go and try to find ways to help people get to God. Ministers of reconciliation. So God is not going to be happy with us having a deep freeze in the garage with 50 pies in it. That's not his plan. That woman at the well, it wasn't just his plan that she would go home and in her heart she could feel like she had met the Messiah, and now she could go through the rest of her life as an enlightened, peaceful person. No. There's a sense in which if she kept it to herself, it would be all wrong. And personally, I think it was the Holy Spirit working within her, the reason that she couldn't keep it to herself. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. So God is more interested in saving people than he is in punishing people. And there's a lot of people that deserve punishment. But we can't look at them in a worldly way. We need to look at them realizing that God can forgive them, God can change them, God can make them new. And we need to see ourselves as ministers of reconciliation. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So he's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, now he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. And I'm going to tell you, a big part of the message of reconciliation is just your own story. How did the Lord find you? What happened in your life? What difference has he made in your life? Now, you're going to work from that to share with others. The message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is one, is an intermediary who goes and represents another one. We are Christ's ambassadors in our world. As though God were making his appeal through us. And in a very real sense, when you go and you try to reach out, God has gone before you by his Spirit. God will be within you, blessing the words that you are going to try to get out. God will bless the other person in helping those words get to their heart and helping them. And God will come behind and continue, causing them to think about truth that they have heard. We're just ambassadors. He's the one who's doing it. We're just saying we are willing to be used, Lord. And he's going to work through us. As though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And that's our message, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. There's a good one to meditate on. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for it says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know, there are lots of people who, if you invited them to come to church on Easter, they would come. Because even the most spiritually ignorant people know that Easter and Christmas are the two big ones for the church. You all know that Pastor Scott will be busy at work, and between the choir and all the things that go on in this place, it's going to be special. So it's sort of like he's going to set the table and it's going to be a wonderful meal. But if we just come and we just sit and we get to enjoy the meal ourselves, that's not really the best. The best would be if we could bring someone along to enjoy the meal with us. So I challenge you. Next week's Palm Sunday, the week after that's Easter. I would challenge us all to pray and think of who we should pray for and invite. I'm going to invite. I've got five of them on my list right now. Now, they might all say no. Oh, well, it's up to them. I'm going to try. But I will pray about it between now and then. And I'm probably going to plan when I'm going to do my big ask. And we'll see. I'd like to ask you, would you consider doing that with me? Could you find someone? Because God doesn't want us with a deep freeze in our garage with 50 pies in it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I know there are some people that just seem to be naturally good at striking up conversations with strangers. Some people, they have no problem working in sales positions because all that stuff comes natural to them. But you didn't call just them to be ministers of reconciliation. You called all of us. And you haven't just called us. We have to walk around every day knowing that we've come to know you. We have experienced the truth. We have tasted the truth. And we know what it's like to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. How can we keep it to ourselves? So, Lord, help us to be wise and help us to be brave. And I pray, Lord, for all of us that you would use our efforts and bless this ministry through it, Lord, for your glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Scott.
Amen.